Since as long as she could remember, every day at Mina's house, 10 monks were invited to partake at the noonday meal. This was a tradition in her family for so many generations, which her father continued meticulously. And Mina could never recall a day when the guests were not received or when the blessings were not given. On her wedding day, it was no surprise to her that along with all the other blessings which her family gave to her, came the admonishment of her father to continue this tradition. "My child," he said, "no matter what your status in life comes to be, with whatever capacity you have, please do not ignore to take the blessings of the holy ones striving in the path of divinity. My child, practice generosity. Be open-handed, and God will see that you dwell with increase. If ever, for any reason, you are not able to feed or share with others, come to me and I will provide, but do not neglect this tradition of our family." Now, in her new home, every day, Mina invited 10 spiritual aspirants to lunch. With what joy she prepared the dishes and offered them at her altar of divinity, chanting the sacred text which she had learned and practiced. And every day, when her meditation was complete, she set the places and bid the monks come and take their seats for the noontime meal. Every day they blessed her, and she dwelt with such contentment. One day, her husband came home at noon, and he was so surprised to see the spectacle. What is this?" he stammered. "All day long I work long hours under the stress of economic pressure, trying to manage my store efficiently so that we can enjoy a better standard of living. And without my knowledge, you are regularly feeding all of these no-good monks who are making no contribution to society whatsoever. What is this? You have got to stop squandering my hard-earned money. This nonsense has got to stop." Mina was so sorry to receive the rebuke from her husband. She went to her father's house and explained to him the situation. "Oh, Mina, do not be sad. I will give you food with which to feed the poor. Then your husband will have nothing to get angry about. But do not neglect our tradition." Now, regularly, her father sent over all the ingredients for Mina to prepare in her offering. And every day, Mina continued the practice of inviting the holy men of God. Again, on another day, her husband came home to see the same practice continuing in his house. And this time, his anger was without control. "You disobeyed my order," he scolded. "Still, you are feeding these worthless human beings. This practice has got to stop." "But," protested Mina, "this food was not purchased from your earnings. It is a gift from my father's house to help me maintain my family tradition with my vow of generosity." "I don't care where it came from," shouted the husband. "I can't stand to see where it's going. These monks have retired from the world to contemplate God. Let God take care of them. Not me. I don't want this practice to continue in my house. You can feed them today as the food is already prepared, but from tomorrow, the invitations will cease. Mina was so sad as she served the food to the monks that day. And all the monks asked her the cause of her sorrow. Mina explained that her husband had forbidden her to feed the holy men any longer, and that today would be their last meal. One of the old monks looked at her with a gleam in his eye and requested, "Are you sad because you can't give us food any longer?"
"Yes," replied Mina.
"Then we shall secure permission for your generosity to continue," said the old monk. "I will take care of everything." That afternoon, the old monk went and sat outside the husband's shop. He just sat there, reciting his rosary. "What is that old monk doing outside my store?" thought Mina's husband. "Certainly is going to ask me for some alms, worthless creatures." He tried not to pay any more attention, but every now and then he glanced out the window to see that the monk hadn't moved. Now it was time to close the store, and that same monk was still sitting there in the same place. "Well," he thought, "if I'm quick enough, maybe I can lock the door and move on before he has a chance to talk to me." He slipped through the door, quickly turned the key, and started to move off at a fast pace. "Young man," called the old monk, "caught. How would you like to earn enough merit to go to heaven and to dwell there for a long time?" he inquired. "Sure I would," the husband responded. "I was just sitting here in meditation when I received a message from the gods in heaven. They have one errand for you, which, if you complete it efficiently, they promise you a lifetime of heavenly happiness."
"What is it?"
"Do you know Rakesh the tailor, who lives just up the street?"
"Yeah, sure, I know Rakesh."
"Well, Rakesh is dying at this very moment, and the gods in heaven have some work for him. If you will deliver the message, they will give to you the blessing of a lifetime full of happiness."
"That's crazy. I just saw Rakesh yesterday, and he was fine.
You were surely telling me some stories."
"Of course you will want to verify what I'm saying," replied the old monk.
"Go see for yourself the state of Rakesh's health. And when you see him, tell him that the tailor in heaven is sewing some clothes for the gods, and he needs a number 12 size needle. That's number 12. Just that. Tell him to take a number 12 size needle with him to heaven, and you will receive a lifetime full of happiness."
"What nonsense," muttered Mina's husband as he walked off in a huff towards the end of the street. But as he reached the end of the block, he paused for a moment in front of Rakesh's house. He heard the sound of wailing coming from within. And when he entered into the house, he saw all of the family members gathered about in sorrow, while Rakesh lay on his deathbed, getting ready to leave his body.
"Rakesh! Rakesh!" he called. "What happened to you?"
Very slowly, Rakesh responded, "Now I see that each of us has a time and a purpose which only God can understand. Yesterday I was in the best of health, and now I am preparing to meet my maker." "It's true," thought Mina's husband. "Everything that the old monk said, it's all true." "Rakesh," he said, "you've got to do a favor for me. When you die, would you please take a number 12 size sewing needle to the tailor in heaven? That's a number 12 size.
he is preparing some clothes, and this old monk got the message in his meditation that he needs a needle. Will you do that for me, please? Are you crazy? Replied Rakesh. When I go, all of this is going to stay here. I can't take anything with me. Only my karma is going with me. The actions I perform while I was on Earth. Everything else is going to stay here. I can't even take a sewing needle to heaven.
Meena was so happy that night when her husband came home and told her, Meena, every day I want that you will not feed only 10 monks. You must feed 20 monks. We must always remember it is by the grace of God that we are able to enjoy all of this and to share with those noble souls who remind us who we really are and what we are doing here. From today, we will always practice generosity in this family.